Good morning. My name is Gino Marez. I am the hearings officer for today's public hearing. Before I begin, let me introduce to you Ron Balahadia, who is going to be helping me out with this morning's hearing. The purpose of today's public hearing is to take oral testimony regarding rule changing. We are here only to take testimony and not to make decisions regarding the proposed rule change. And we will not be taking questions. If you plan to submit oral testimony or comment on the testimony of others, please be sure that when you do so, state your name and spell your name for the record, okay? How many people here intend to present oral testimony? Can I see your hands? Okay. Depending on the number of people who are going to testify, we're going to begin by limiting the testimony time to 2 minutes per person. If there's time before we put 11 o'clock in, well, we can circle back to people who want to continue testifying, okay? We just want to give your fellow attendees the opportunity to also present their oral testimony. If you have signed up to testify, when I call your name, please come up here. I'll see questions later. And you may present your testimony or scan on your written testimony that you sent in to us. Okay. If by chance we run out of time and you are not able to present oral testimony, I encourage you to submit written testimony either by email or by regular mail to the Department of Health. Now, oral testimony and written testimony are given the exact same weight. Okay. The reason why I say this is because some other hearings, we have enough people, or too many people, who we can't accommodate to present oral testimony. Again, I will give you the address and the email address for where you can submit your written testimony, okay? Now, the address is, and if you want to submit written testimony, you may submit it to the Department of Health, to the Disease Outbreak Control Division, 1250 Punchbowl Street, room 443, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96813, or by email at immunization@doh.hawaii.gov. All testimony shall be received no later than Thursday, December 27, 2018 at 12 noon, Hawaii Standard Time. Does anybody have any questions about what I just covered? Okay, the end date is December 27, 2018, at 12 noon. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Let's proceed. Let the record reflect that it is now 9.06 a.m., December 20th, 2018. We are on the island of Hawaii at the Hilo State Office Building, 75 Aokuni Street, Hilo, Hawaii, Conference Room A, B, and C. This is the Department of Health, State of Hawaii, public hearing for docket number R-157-18-07. Okay. Now, the first person I'm going to call to testify is Kenneth. Kenneth? Is there Kenneth here? Okay. Forrest, is it K-E-R-N-E-T-S? Of course. Okay. Please state your name and record, please.
My name is Forrest Bass, F-O-R-R-E-S-T. My last name is Bass, D as in boy, A, C as in home, C as in people. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony as a father, a community member, and a public health advocate. I strongly support the proposed rule changes. The proposed changes will bring Hawaii's rules into compliance with the most current recommendations of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP. The proposed rules update is especially important to requiring students first entering seventh grade or higher to receive the HPV, MCV, and Tdap shots because of low uptake levels, especially for the HPV vaccine, which prevents HPV-related cancers that might otherwise occur later in life. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, advise that state and local vaccination requirements for daycare and school entry are important tools for maintaining high community vaccination rates and in turn lower rates of vaccine-preventable diseases. No vaccine is 100% effective for everyone, and not everyone can be vaccinated. Newborns and those with compromised immune systems, such as those experiencing chemotherapy or with autoimmune conditions, cannot be immunized. If approximately 93% of the population is vaccinated, vulnerable groups will stay protected. Immunized students are both protected from vaccine-preventable diseases and protect those who cannot be immunized. Research demonstrates that communities with more vaccine exemptions are at greater risk for vaccine-preventable disease outbreaks. Limiting exemptions to those that are medically indicated improves protection for our entire community, including those who are particularly vulnerable, the very young and our elders. I respectfully request that the proposed changes be supported and passed for the benefit of all of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. In case I didn't mention it earlier, this is the hearing for proposed Hawaii Administrative Rule Change, Title 11, Chapter 157, regarding examination and immunization. Okay. Mark Smith.
I'm a community member. I don't have children in Hawaii, and I have no skin in this game. But I'm speaking on behalf of the children in Hawaii who are going to be damaged by this.
Excuse me, Mr. Smith, can you state your name and spell it for the record, please?
Please recommend. It's Mark Anders Smith, MarkAndersSmith, SMRGH. I'm a 59-year-old behavioral specialist who is currently presently retired, but I'm speaking on behalf of the children in Hawaii who are going to be damaged by this virus or this vaccine. What we know is this. Okay. We know that the countries of Spain and Colombia have initiated class action lawsuits against Merck Pharmaceuticals for violating the promises they made in vaccine because the vaccine is contaminated with azotes that include DNA particles that are causing autoimmune disease and so on. We know that 55,000 women around the world have been affected harmfully by Gardasil as of today. We know that 44 women have died directly as a result of Gardasil. We know for a fact that Japan has withdrew Gardasil from the market because when a number of girls in Japan came out stating they were sick from it, the Merck Pharmaceutical executive, they attacked them saying they were hysterical. So the Japan's health ministry decided to investigate. They found out there was in fact contaminants and it was causing autoimmune disease in these women. We know that Gardasil is not safe. We know that it has about a 2-year lifespan, which is not sufficient. The one who developed Gardasil for Merck Pharmaceuticals was named Diane Harper. She's a researcher at Merck Pharmaceuticals. She's come out against her own product, stating, for the record, the benefits to public health is nothing. There is no reduction in cervical cancer caused by this product. Quote, unquote. This is the lead researcher for Merck. So I'm advocating that you fight this introduction. I don't know about the other vaccine. What I do know is about Gardasil. And I'm advocating that you fight this with every strength in your body because your children are getting sick. And once they get sick, it will not ever go away because we're talking about autoimmune disease. Once that introduction is given into your children's bloodstream, it does not go away. It's permanent.
Thank you. Josh? Rick Gary?
Yes.
Thank you. Could you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Yes. My name is Joshua Gary, Joshua Garey. Thank you for having this discussion today. When I was about to become a parent for the first time, I looked at the vaccine issue very carefully. I concluded that it would be a spiritual sin for me to inject potentially dangerous substances into a healthy human body, especially a young one. The risks far outweigh the perceived benefits. I requested the actual inserts of ingredients, side effects, legal disclaimers, and so forth from our pediatrician. It folded out like a map into a double-sided maze of the tiniest fine print I have ever seen. I spent several hours reading it with a magnifying glass. On the particular insert I was given, side effects included seizures, fever, and brain swelling. I researched more and learned that a federal vaccine injury court does indeed exist, unconstitutionally separate from our normal justice system, and it has paid out several $1 billion of our tax money to victims. I learned that only the smallest minority of cases, only the ones where injuries were direct, obvious, and easily provable, are ever seen in this venue, which in my view is clearly a kangaroo court. If others want to trust multinational pharmaceutical corporations whose legal liability is practically none, and in whose best interest it is to have a returning, health-compromised clientele, that is their business, but it is not a choice for our family. If people want to take a vaccine whose listed side effects may include shedding, which is really close to being contagious, I can only acknowledge that with protest, since that is clearly as great or greater a threat to public health than unvaccinated people could ever be. If your vaccines work, what are you worried about? Herd immunity is a false concept where people wouldn't need boosters. Stop telling people they have to take drugs too for your drugs to work. It is my opinion that vaccines weaken the natural immune system instead of strengthening it as we are told, and that it's not an accident. People who are against vaccines are not anti-science. We are anti-malevolent science. And denying that malevolent science exists will eventually lead to catastrophe. Thank you.
Okay, is there a Nicole Yokoyama?
There's Nicole Yokoyama, N-I-C-O-L-E-Y-O-K-O-Y-A-M-A. I'm here today to propose Planet 1157. I'm a U.S. citizen and I've lived in Hawaii for several years. There are not enough words in seven languages to express the level of disgust I feel towards the proposed mandate. I've not come here to argue about vaccines. I'm here to tell you that you do not have the right to dictate what goes into another person's body. How dare you? This is a direct violation of human and civil rights and violates the Nuremberg Code. We have rammed down our throats about a woman's right to change whether or not she terminates the life of her unborn child because her body, her choice. So why should we have unnecessary vaccinations forced upon us? Vaccinations that carry significant risk of side effects, long-term health problems and even death. It is my body, my choice. My child's body and my choice as a parent to decide what is in my child's best interest. Double standard. People are waking up to the level of corruption at play, the money involved in the chaos. We know this pharma pays insurance companies, and doctors swear to Hippocratic oath promising to heal and not harm. But what a joke that is. Blue Cross Blue Shield pays doctors $40,000 bonus for fully vaccinating 100 patients under the age of 2. If the doctor manages to fully vaccinate 200 patients, that bonus jumps to $80,000. Conflict of interest much? Why is another? The CDC earns a patent on over 50 vaccines and makes billions of dollars every year. So here are some questions for the board. How about some government transparency here? Why are you so desperate to mandate what has been withdrawn in other countries because of the thousands of vaccine injuries and deaths? How much do you get paid by pharmaceutical companies to push these mandates through? Why are vaccine companies free from any liability? Why has no proper long-term safety testing been done in over 30 years? Provide us with solid evidence that you have actually listened to our testimony and read all the scientific peer-reviewed research cases that I know others have provided to you. Prove to us you have not just thrown them in the trash. How about showing us your vaccine records and your family vaccine records? Be transparent and be accountable. Each human body is unique and reacts differently. How about testing each individual for gene mutations, potential sensitivities and allergies to vaccine ingredients before vaccination? This alone would help save lives. That won't be done only because it costs money, and it always comes down to money. Because no one cares if a few kids die or spend their lives suffering due to adverse reactions and immune systems gone haywire. This is not about the health and welfare of children, it is about money and control. This is a very dangerous slippery slope. What next? Obviously, many more vaccines will be added year after year until people are walking pincushions. The ones that survive, that is. And then what? mandatory abortion, mandatory euthanasia of those deemed to be of no use and a burden to society, mandatory microchips in the hands. No one has the right to dictate to another what their beliefs should be, their religion, how they live, and what they do with their own bodies. Show some respect for our civil rights. If someone touches another without consent, that is considered assault. Abortion, a medical procedure, is medical rape. Even God himself gives us free choice, and one day you'll stand before him and have to give an account of what you have done. If this mandate passes, innocent children will be injured or die as a result of dangerous mandatory vaccines, and you are responsible. It is time to stop playing Russian roulette and offering up innocent children as sacrificial lambs on a sacrificial farmer. I thank you for your time and the opportunity to speak, and I pray that you listen.
Is there Catherine Lightfoot Martin?
Hello, my name is Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Lightfoot Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N. I'm a midwife here in East Hawaii, and I'd like to share a brief history of childhood vaccinations with you in the United States. In the 1950s, four vaccines were offered to our children, and children received the total of five shots by the age they were two, never more than one vaccine at a time. And at that time, the U.S. ranked third in infant mortality in the world, which means only two countries had infant mortality rates that were better than the United States. In the 1970s, we increased the number of vaccinations to 14 for our early childhood. At that time, the CDC had to develop a way of addressing the growing numbers of adverse effects being reported. That was the precursor to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. In the 1980s, they combined the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines into one injection called the MMR. Children received the combination shot at 15 months and again at 18 months, along with the other dozen or more vaccines. At that time, the U.S. ranked 17th in infant mortality. Whoa, that's a big change from third. In the 1990s, we increased the number of required vaccinations to 20 injections in early childhood. They added vaccines to hepatitis B, herpes, and the flu. In the 1990s, they introduced thimerosal, the mercury preservative in vaccines, which caused lots of injury vaccines, from vaccines. And at that time, the U.S. ranked 23rd in infant mortality. We're getting worse. Now, we have seen an increase of nearly 414% in the number of vaccines being given to our children since the 1950s. 40 shots are mandated in childhood total. Seven of those include combination shots, which is multiple vaccines in one injection, which means we're getting a total of 54 vaccines to our children total. Americans are now required by law to use more vaccines than any other nation in the world. And now the U.S. is ranked 49th. Actually, that was 2012. I believe the number is worse now. 49th. We are worse than any other developed country in our infant mortality. Is this really the best you can do to promote and protect the health of our children? The evidence says no. In 1975, Japan raised its minimum vaccination age to 2 years old, meaning that zero vaccines were given to babies until they reached the age of two. After that, the infant mortality rate in that country became the best in the world. Most children in the United States today receive 20 vaccinations or injections in their first 2 years of life. And we are the worst infant mortality in the world, or the worst of developed countries. Is this really the best we can do to promote and protect the health of our children? The evidence says no. More open-minded countries like the Netherlands have studies showing that eliminating childhood infections and episodes of fevers lead to increased numbers of chronic diseases and cancer. That's right. The people who experience more fevers in childhood have significantly lower rates of cancer as adults. So we may be sacrificing or giving our children a chance to not experience an episode of fever that's going to put them out of school for a couple of weeks now. Because then we're sacrificing their future health, giving them a chance of autoimmune disease and cancer for the future. Is increasing the number and types of vaccination for our children really the best we can do to promote and protect the health of our children and our future? The evidence overwhelmingly says no. Therefore, I urge the Department of Health in Hawaii, please do not increase the number and types of vaccinations for our kids. And please continue to offer pathways for informed refusal of vaccinations for conscientious objectors. One more thing I'd like to say is, if you look at the rankings of the infant mortality, the countries who are ranked the best, like Japan still at the very top, and many, many more, all the European countries are ahead of us, they do not have mandatory vaccine schedules. They've recommended vaccine schedules. And that's just what I urge Hawaii to take the lead in as well. Thank you.
Is there Ione sitting here? Am I pronouncing that right, Ione?
Yes. I-O-N-E, Ione Chittenden, C-H-F-T-T-E-N-D-E-N. My first time going there, so please bear with me. I'm the mother of an autistic 12-year-old. I opposed it. Had the child tested for autoimmune issues before giving the child vaccine. The pharmaceutical companies surely can't afford testing the infant before administering the vaccine. Have the vaccine schedules adjusted? There's no reason why a child should have more than one vaccine at a time spread out if they decide to do that. The child has until 5 to get it done. There's no reason why you should have 4 or 5 at my age. People who set these laws are not the ones who are helping me when my child is banging her head against the wall. She has severe sleep disorder. No one is there helping me when she cannot fall asleep night after night after night. So no one should have the right to tell me what to do with my child. She will never have another vaccine again over my dead body. We tried for many years to have this child. We ended up having in vitro. She's our only child. And we monitored, we watched her, and we saw what the vaccines did. After the MMR, she lost her speech. 6 months later, we took her back for more and the more severe symptoms of autism appeared. I know that the vaccines did it. And again, she will never have another vaccine done to her again. No one shares that we can get the child into school with the religious exempt. It is not common knowledge, and it should be. And again, I oppose this. Thank you.
Mr. Philip Martin.
My name is Philip Martin, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-M-A-R-T-I-N. And I want to voice my opinion, which is I do not want a government official of any kind or any government to tell me what I need to not do for my children. I'd like to honor the fact that I hope that they're trying to do their best to help the population, but I think one of the best ways is to have the freedom of choice, and the transparency is important, and education is important. And when we, the people, know what the choices are, we can make our own decisions. And that's what I believe is important. Not to have somebody else make a decision for me, or for my children. Because each one is different, just like I'm different than my wife. And our children are different from each other. So it's very important, I believe, for choice. And that's what will make a great society.
Is there a Unity Win?
Good Good morning. My name is Unity Nguyen. My legal name is Twin of Nguyen. So T like Tom, U Y, N like Nancy, G O C. Last name N like Nancy, G U Y E N. I'm a practicing family medicine physician here in Hilo and Puna. And I am not radically against all vaccines. Some have saved a lot of lives. Some have caused death and harm to the point where they needed to be recalled after having been approved by the government. As a physician who has taken the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, I believe it is unethical to mandate or even strongly encourage all vaccines that are approved by the government. I would discuss the flu vaccine as a low-lying, easy fruit because the proof for it is very weak. The 70% efficacy rate that is touted by the industry requires serious twisting of data. The more clinically relevant figure of the number needed to treat when there is 70% efficacy is 100. You need to inject 100 people to prevent one case of flu, not one death, not one serious adverse outcome, but one case of flu. Last year, the efficacy rate was 17%. You don't hear this number. So the number needed to treat would be astronomical rate. So the twisting of the data is used to convince the public to support these vaccines. The issue becomes more acute when we are speaking of vaccines for very young children. The immune system under age 2 is very poorly understood by modern science. One thing we are aware of is that the immune system at this age is not meant to react strongly to many stimuli that the vaccine forced a reaction to. The immune system at this age is still learning what to react to and what to tolerate. So that's why aluminum is added to many vaccines to force a reaction in the system, which in its innate wisdom otherwise would not react to. The long-term sequelae are unknown. And there is strong data that gives worry that this process is related to autoimmune diseases where the immune system is reacting in unhealthy ways that cause serious consequences for a growing number of people. More facts about the flu vaccine. This one type of vaccine accounts for 1% of profit in a $50 billion industry. The manufacturer gets subsidies from making the vaccine. They are protected from lawsuits for adverse outcomes. All these laws together result in humongous financial incentives for these vaccines to be pushed on the public. This is an example of one type of vaccine. Among how many that are within these blanket requirements? Some believe that the National Institute of Health and other government agencies will protect us from dangerous vaccines. An independent study showed that among the governing board for approving vaccines, the majority of members had affiliations with pharmaceutical industries. All these aspects combined make it unreasonable and unethical to make blanket mandatory requirements of all vaccines that pass through government approval. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here who wishes to testify? Well, let me see the sheet over here. Is Leilani Lindsay Kalkuni?
Aloha. Recently...
Excuse me, can you speak your name and spell?
Aloha, my name is Leilani Lindsay Kalkuni. L-A-N-D-A-L-E-I-L-A-N-I-L-A-N-D-S-E-Y-K-A-A-T-U-N-I. I am a resident of Hilo. I'm a Hawaiian. The waters of Kane are sacred to Hawaiians because they sustain and give life. And we are of that, we are made from that. And that has always been our position. And we have been granted religious exemptions from vaccination for our cultural beliefs and practice as Hawaiians. So the idea of removing that exemption would impact us spiritually, culturally, physically, and we will not do it. and then to be threatened that our children cannot go to school and receive an education if we do not desecrate ourselves and them and put them at risk for severe harm reminds us of 125 years ago when the Hawaiian Kingdom was overthrown. And in 1896, the Hawaiian language was banned from school. So within two generations, our parents and grandparents almost forgot their language completely. Because there was a time when our grandparents had to choose between educating their children or holding on to their language, which was our way of conveying ike and wisdom and history and the truth of who we are. And today, if this religious exemption is removed, then again, parents have to choose between educating the children or allowing them to possibly be severely harmed. We will not do it. Recently, there was a lawsuit. Robert Kennedy Jr. sued the government over vaccine safety and won. The result of the lawsuit is that the U.S. Health and Human Services had to finally and shockingly admit that it never, not even once, submitted a single biennial report to Congress detailing the improvements in vaccine safety. This speaks volumes to the seriousness by which vaccine safety is treated at HHS and heightens the concern that HHS doesn't have a clue as to the actual safety profile of the now 29 doses and growing of vaccines given before age 1 to babies. The rate of autism, autoimmune disease, rare childhood cancer, on and on the list goes, has skyrocketed. But there are small segments of the U.S. population that don't have autism. And they are the segments of the population that don't vaccinate their children. The Amish, the Goldstein children of Chicago. We will not do this. And as a Hawaiian, I'm a protected person under the 49th Geneva Convention. And if vaccination is forced on us, that is a war crime that departments and individuals will be held accountable for. Thank you.
Christina Young. State your name and spell it for the record.
Okay. My name is Christina Young, and I've been a resident of Hawaii for 17 years. I didn't know I'd be coming up to speak right away, so I'm saying it here. Hi, there's so much evidence to back up why these updates should not be given. I wanted to start out with reading the mission statement for the Hawaii Department of Health, because I think these proposed updates go against the mission statement and the goals and the philosophy that the Hawaii Department of Health is here for the people. And their mission statement is to protect and improve the health and environment for all people in Hawaii. And if these updates go into effect, then they will not be protecting all the people of Hawaii. They will increase the chances of severe adverse effects. And if you increase the vaccines, and especially if you're giving more vaccines than any other state in our country has, there's definitely inevitable to be causing more adverse effects on severe ones, more deaths, more infertility, autism, seizures, all the many, many risk factors that are involved with vaccines and what so many people have been sharing with payers, the reporting system. Our National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program has given $4 billion from our tax money to pay for these injured and families and deaths caused by vaccines. And it just shows that people are getting hurt by these. And so if this becomes mandated and children can't go to school because if parents refuse this, there's going to be huge resistance. People are not going to want to send their children to school. me a lot more homeschooling and people leaving the state. It's going to really affect the Department of Education. It's going to be a huge movement of resistance, and it's going to affect everyone in Hawaii. We're going to need more special education classes when more children start having developmental disabilities, all of the health issues that come from vaccines. Another thing in the philosophy for Department of Health is the philosophy is that health, the optimal state of physical, mental, and social and environmental well-being is a right and responsibility of all of Hawaii's people. So it is our right to health, and for anyone that knows anyone that's been injured by vaccines, we know that this is not helping the health. And anyone that has gotten a sickness from someone who has a vaccine because they've been shed and they can cause some of these diseases to spread, then you know that's not helping their health. So that even the less severe adverse effects that I've seen in my own family, none of my children have been vaccinated, but my stepdaughter has, and she's on the autism spectrum disorder. She has predictive developmental disorder. She has ADHD. She has severe developmental delays. She had to do speech therapy. She has 25 vaccines, by the way. That's the complaint to make, is that her parents said no, gave her a lot of shock, and we're seeing it now. She's in fifth grade and struggling with three-letter words, anxiety disorder, major behavior issues, and we're just very confident that the vaccines had a huge part to play in her developmental delays and also a lot of her issues that we're dealing with now, and it makes it a lot more worse for families to deal with. When children are dealing with these issues, these minor ones, not severe like seizures and death, it's way more serious for families to deal with it. It can affect our whole state if this were to happen, these updates went into effect, and we're dealing with tons of families having a lot more stress and a lot more challenges to deal with health, with education, with our case either. It's going to be super difficult, and I guess the big point I want to make is that the Department of Health, if they make this happen, it's going to be the weight, the heaviness, the responsibility of all of the terrible things that could happen. It's going to be because of this, because of the Department of Health. And I want to make sure that the board members of the Department of Health consider that more children dying in our state will be because of this choice here. And we must be responsible for that, just like the people in other tragedies in history where if a different decision had been made, lives could have been saved. Also, infertility, which has been shown by CDC to be causing infertility, a huge rise in infertility in Hawaii, and I think it's tragic for everybody, but especially for people of Hawaiian ancestry. This is where more Hawaiian people live, and if our infertility rate goes up to, above 75% because of this HPV vaccine, then, we're talking about the diminishing of the Hawaiian people, and that is a huge, huge heavy weight to have the Department of Health to have on their weight on their shoulders for hurting children, for causing so many health problems for our small little isolated population here. One more point I wanted to make about this. Another thing with the goals that the Department of Health says, an important one was ensuring that the health department is the resource of the right one. I'm kind of ad-libbing here. I know there's going to be a lot more people showing up speaking, so I'm not the last one. Let's see here. It was about family. Oh, your goal is to promote the strength and integrity of families and communities. And these proposed updates do the opposite of that. It's going to tear up families. Being able to send your children to school makes it so parents can work, and if everyone has to start homeschooling, which homeschooling is awesome, but a lot of people cannot afford that, especially single-parent families. And it's just going to make everything terrible for everyone. Many people might just leave the state, which you won't care probably because they'll be gone, but it's a huge thing for tearing up our communities, our children, and the schools. If you kept going, especially the flu shot is another important one to bring up with the bringing them into the schools and giving them to our children. It has eczema. You're not checking if the children have egg allergies. It has all these other ingredients that, when you look at the national vaccine injury program, compensation program, the number one, the highest compensated vaccine is the flu shot. And over almost 3,000 cases have people have been compensated. I mean, they get $250,000 if your child dies from it, and, you know, it doesn't make up for a life, you know. No amount of money can bring back the life of a child that's been killed by a vaccine. So there is no, it doesn't make it better, you know, but it also shows that people are getting injured from it, and all of this money, billions of dollars going to try and make it better because they know it's wrong. And the funding by the pharmaceutical companies that are just trying to keep on this hush-hush and, you know, hurting the children. And it's not okay. There's going to be huge resistance. There's going to be many children not going to school because this would happen. So I think it's really important. We just know that there's many people that oppose this. I mean, I'm surprised that this is so small here because I know so many people that are completely against this. And I was sharing information online. Tons of people are sharing it. Many people sent email testimonies, and just because people didn't send an email or didn't show up to this hearing today, there's a huge amount of people out there. I mean, Big Island especially has got a lot of people that are into natural living, not into, you know, the crazy ingredients that are injected into the bloodstream with vaccines. There's going to be huge resistance, and if these updates went into effect and it went to be where children cannot go to school without them, then you're going to see a huge resistance. You're going to see people really upset, and it's going to cause a lot of problems. It's going to really affect our state, and I'm hoping that the resistance will be strong enough so that it will affect our state in a positive way, so that we can not be like the experimental guinea pigs, considering no other state has this many vaccines. We don't even know what it's like when children have that many altogether, but the combination of that many, you know, especially adding really unsafe, who's that proof of safe, especially HPV. I mean, over 500 kids have died from that, and over 5,000 people reporting adverse effects. And so we don't know how terrible it'll be, but I would definitely rather see a huge, you know, Department of Health seeing how this is not okay, and we're not going to just let this happen. I mean, and I'm sure that doctors are not going to be holding down children with forcing them back in. So you're just going to see a lot of people upset that their children can't go to school now, and that's going to affect their education. It's better than seeing the terrible effects if everyone started doing this and all of these children started getting really sick, dying, seizures, infertility, all of the terrible things, and then even the less severe ones have a huge effect on our community. There's so much more to say. I didn't bring a bunch of data and information, but it is out there, and I know that other parents have shared these things in with the email testimonies. And for anyone, I imagine everyone here is against this, but if there's anyone here that's for it, if you research, you know, we're not like some conspiracy theorists, flat earthers that are crazy that like totally aren't thinking clear. There's so much scientific evidence backing this up. You know, we are totally backed up by even by some of the CDC research. I mean, all of these, you know, even their own stuff. I mean, they're totally controlling us, but they're still showing us that, you know, there is all these links to all of these problems. And are you the Department of Health board members here? Are you a moderator?
I'm a moderator. I'm the hearing officer.
Okay, so none of them are actually even here to hear it. So, you know, it really shows that they don't care. I know there's one in Kona too, but this is a major problem with the government, but especially when it comes to health freedom and our right to informed consent and our right to choose what goes into our bodies. That they're not even here to hear that, and that shows that, you know, we have to do more to wait to show that this is not okay. We're not going to force toxins and poisons and you know, preservatives that allow these toxins to cross the blood-brain barrier. You're not going to force that onto people, and they're not even come to hear us saying why we don't want that. And as it shows, the Department of Health has these great, you know, mission statement, great goals, great philosophy, but if you really care about the health of people of Hawaii, then they would not be doing updates, but also hearing what people have to say about it, and really shows that something needs to be done about this. The law that made it so that the Department of Health is in charge of this instead of our elected politicians shows that that needs to change. You know, that law made it so that these people that aren't even caring to hear us are making these decisions. They're threatening to poison children, and so we need to change that law too. That's just wrong. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say about that, but Department of Health says it's not some great things for food safety, but this one, it's not okay. And you can see, the doctors get, they get incentives for pushing the vaccines, and I've either been to a doctor's office, no child ever pushes the vaccine. You see them crying and screaming and crying, and then you see, all of the terrible things that happen after, which, it's not rare. They think, oh, it's rare, 1 in 1 million stuff. It's like, no, over 500,000 kids have been hurt, and we're not just going to pretend like it's not happening. So whatever the Department of Health needs to change this, to stop these updates, and I honestly don't know what that is, but it needs to be done. If they're not going to come here to scare people, and there's tons of parents with vaccine injured children that, if they heard these stories, if you knew someone that's been through that, I've only experienced some less severe reactions, but even then it's still that stayed on. But people have actually experienced losing a child or all of the really tragic things involved with adverse effects of vaccines, and maybe it'll change your heart. So I'm hoping that the Department of Health can realize, all right, your job is to protect the people. And so, making it harder, teaching vaccines is not helping. It's not going to help the health of our community as it is vaccines. But also, making it more difficult to get exemptions is a major concern. Making it harder to get medical exemption is a major concern because I strongly oppose this update in the AKR 7 proposal update, and there's going to be a lot of resistance. We are not going to let this happen. I know lots and lots of more people, hundreds on the Big Island, that will be standing up against it. Even if you're not here at the hearing, or you send an email, there is going to be huge, huge resistance going on if this keeps on going, and the people in the Department of Health that are responsible for making this decision are going to have the karma, the weight, the blood on their hands of children dying and having severe disabilities. All of that was because of these people making this decision now. So I want you to think hard about that. Department of Health board, key decision makers, please consider that when the death rate of children in Hawaii goes up, it will be because of you and this decision you're making now. So thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony, and I know a lot more people are showing up. I know a lot more people will be here, so I'm not the last one. And please consider the severity of this decision. Thank you.
Okay. Laura Andrade. Good morning, can you state and spell your name for the record?
Ron Andrade, R-O-N-A-N-D-R-A-D-E. Sorry, I have nobody's videoing this because I'm a total introvert. And I originally wasn't going to speak, but I don't have all the facts or anything, and I'm not here to debate anything. I just want to say that I have two children. My son's 18, and he is vaccine injured. And so my daughter's 5 years old, so when she was born, I did a lot of extensive research, and then I started to see that it wasn't okay to vaccinate my daughter. So my daughter is vaccine-free, and I feel like it should be my decision to make to vaccinate my child. I don't think it's something that any government should be pushing. My daughter is not a risk to the public. if anything, the public is a risk to my daughter because she's unvaccinated. So I just, that's all I wanted to say, and I'm again pushing this mandatory vaccination for starters. And if it does go through, I'm going to homeschool my daughter. She just got into kindergarten, a really good school that is a hot school, and it is part of the Department of Education. But if this law does take place, I'm pulling her out and I'm going to homeschool her. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of other students whose parents feel the same way as I do. And then our state's going to lose funding for each child that is in the Department of Education. So I am against this. And thank you for our invitation.
Okay, Cynthia Carpenter. Is there Cynthia Carpenter here? Yes. Could you state your name as well for the record, please?
I'm Cynthia Carpenter, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A Carpenter, C-A-R-T-E-N-T-E-R. So I'm just speaking off the cuff because I forgot to say, and so my husband is a trusted physician here. I have six kids, 32 years to 12. The 32-year-old, when she got vaccinated, she had a bad reaction. There was only a few at that time. And so my husband was going into medical school. He did a ton of research. He said, no more vaccinations. So he's told me stuff over the years about it, but he's the medical guy. So as we had our other children, no vaccinations. We have two grandchildren. They don't get vaccinations. Everyone's been healthy. As a physician, he's lucky where he's a specialist. He doesn't have to get vaccinations. He's totally against them. It's kind of a secret the doctors have to keep in a way because there's so much misinformation put out there by the big pharmaceutical companies. He's a physician who has to prescribe other medicines. He doesn't like big pharmaceuticals at all. But he, does the same. He's an eye specialist, so he doesn't have to, do eye medicine. He wants to get into more CBD alternative treatment. But he's lucky he doesn't have to face that choice. So he has his own choice with his own family, giving people that he knows and loves information. And so we're going to move to California, but they have mandatory vaccinations there. Cool. We're lucky where my husband can write a waiver. So if we want to, we can go there and go to school. Here, if they became mandatory, he will write a waiver. I will write one for anyone who wants to. I didn't say that, but I did. So, he is killing his own. Anyway, so I would be so sad and disappointed if Hawaii chose to inject our children with things, mercury, sun, miracle, I don't know if I can say it, but I've done a little research too. There's immune, my husband believes that later in life we will get immune problems, autoimmune disease. From the research he's done. So it is such a huge thing to be insane that you have to inject children with things from a company that are making money off injecting children. That is their bread and butter, as my husband said. The doctors, primary care, pediatricians, that's their bread and butter is vaccination. So, and another thing, doctors do not give informed consent. They're supposed to tell every person who comes in all the risks associated with what this could do to your child. They don't. They don't give anything. That's illegal. And who's ever heard a doctor tell you the risks before you get a flu shot, vaccine, anything? We never heard anything. So that's a big thing. Doctors are not trained in vaccinations, what they do. They're being taught in medical school, this is what you do. I haven't worked in medical school. This is what you do. This is how you do it. You listen to the pharmaceutical company. They're in charge, the pharmaceutical company. Doctors are not in charge. So that's another thing where doctors really are not educated in vaccinations. They just do what they're told. And so that's another reason why my husband is against them. So if it was a choice and an informed consent choice where everyone could know each side the truth and then make their own decision, that's fine. You know, nobody's telling anyone what to do, but you have to know the truth on both sides. We do not get the truth. We do not get the truth on the anti-vaccination side. There's just misinformation, propaganda, making people feel that, like, they're conspiracy theorists if they're against vaccination. And so it's a big problem in this country. It's a big problem in the world. But I would hope that Hawaii is a little more progressive than a lot of states out there. Let's hope. And so I'm against mandatory vaccination 100%. My husband, the physician, is against them 100%. My children are against them 100%. And we're not, we have done our research. We are informed. So we've informed ourselves. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else present who would like to testify? If not, I'll hold the record open until 11 o'clock. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't want this year to be challenged. Could I call it Hawaii time? We're holding the record open. We're holding the record open until 11 o'clock because that's what it was supposed to be.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 11 o'clock, according to my watch. So this will conclude today's public hearing. Thank you for participating.
Thank you for coming.